Hear of God's word, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, the risen Christ. So many times throughout the scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, and therefore in so many of our great hymns, oh, we see again and again this beautiful image of Jesus, the great good shepherd. Numerous surveys have been done over the years asking Christians and non-Christians alike, what is your favorite Bible passage? And again, people overwhelmingly, they point to this, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Why do you think people love this psalm so much? Why this image? I believe that it is because it is such a wonderful promise of comfort and love that comes to you and to me from God himself. God, who created the heavens and the earth, God who lifts up the mountains and paints the rainbows in the skies, God who scatters supernovas across the universe and sets the galaxies spinning. This, our awesome creator God, he loves you and me so much that he calls us his own little lambs and says that he himself is our shepherd, the one who promises to bring each and every one of us safely home. Wow. When Jesus says, I am your good shepherd, Jesus is saying to you and to me, this is how much I love you. Now, a little knowledge about first century animal husbandry can be helpful when we're trying to understand the different images that we find in today's gospel lesson. In first century Palestine, often several different shepherds from the same village, they would come together and they would build one large sheepfold. Often, they would build it by piling together large dried out thorn bushes. Now you have to realize that the thorn bushes in Israel are incredibly nasty. I have seen them, experienced them up front, close and personally. The thorns are at least an inch long. The thorns themselves can be deadly. Often they would build these up, these massive thorn bushes, into one great sheepfold, one huge wall all around the sheep. At one end of the sheepfold, there would be a very, very small opening through which the sheep could pass one by one. The door to the sheepfold would literally be one of the shepherds. At night, once all the sheep were safely in the fold, all present and accounted for, the shepherd would lay down at the entrance of the sheepfold. He would literally be the door. Therefore, any wolf or lion or thief that wanted to get at his sheep would have to actually go through him. The shepherd literally, every night, lays down his life for the sheep. In the morning, each shepherd in turn would stand at the entrance to the sheepfold and he would call out for his sheep. And the sheep, hearing the voice of their master, their shepherd, would come and follow him. Listen again to Jesus' words. They tend to make a lot more sense when you know this. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. I know my own, and my own know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. In this scenario, it is absolutely critical for the sheep to know the shepherd's voice. It is for them a matter of life and death. The sheep, says Jesus, will follow the shepherd because they know his voice. They are familiar with it. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from the stranger because they do not know his voice. Think for a moment about what Jesus has just said. The sheep will not even listen to the voices of strangers, the voices of those thieves and those bandits, simply because that's a strange voice to them. There are admittedly lots of voices in today's world. I think we have to ask ourselves this morning, with whose voice are we the most familiar? In our media crazy world of TV and radio and internet and videos, we are constantly being bombarded by all kinds of different voices, voices of personal desire, voices of politics and secular humanism, voices of materialism and envy and jealousy and pride and greed and lust, the voices of advertising and the voices of Wall Street. How can Jesus' sheep learn to discern the difference between Jesus' voice and all of these other voices that are constantly bombarding us? It is for us to make a point of spending more time with the shepherd, by learning the sound of his voice, by listening to his words. Honestly, the very best thing that I have ever done for myself, personally in my own Christian life, is to spend more time in God's word. I would confess to you that many, many years ago, I thought, boy, it'd be really great if I could just make that commitment every single year to just read through all of God's word, start in Genesis 1:1 and read right through to the end of Revelations, to just do it every single year. And so often, so many years, I'd start in and I'd get just that far, and then life would get busy and life would get complicated and I start falling behind, and then I start falling behind some more, and pretty soon I'd look at how far behind I was. And I felt like such a failure. And I just give up. I lost track of the number of times that I felt overwhelmed by the feelings of defeat and negativity and failure and the fear that, will I ever get this right? And then one year, when I was in the midst of that black, despairing hole of I failed again, suddenly it was like I could hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to my heart. I didn't audibly hear God, but it was a different voice. Than all those voices of despair and accusation and condemnation, it was just a wonderful voice that said, I haven't given up on you. I haven't given up on you. Start again. Come again. I just want to spend time with you. I'm not counting how many times you blow it or fail. I just want you to be with me in my word. You see, the voice of Satan is the voice of the accuser. The voice of Satan is the one that drives us into the ground. The voice of Satan is the one that condemns us and gives us no hope. And you know what? Sometimes the voice of Satan can be discerned because it's filled with an awful lot of, you should have done this, and you should have done that, and you should have done that. And I find that life can sometimes just get a little bit too shoulddy. That's not the voice of our Savior. Said the voice of our Savior is one of love that invites us back to himself, that raises us up from the dark hole that we fall into and says, I am here. I'm ready to forgive. I am ready to give you new beginnings. It is always the voice of invitation. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's not mediocrity, or it's not boring or drudgery. Abundantly. To experience the fullness of life as only our risen Lord Jesus can give to you and me. That's why he died for us. That's why he rose for us. To give us his Easter life. And as we spend time with him and his Holy Spirit works within us, he gives to us his Easter gifts of his love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Jesus, our great good shepherd, he laid down his life for us as sheep. He died for our sins. He was the one who has now defeated all the powers of sin, death, and the devil. He has conquered death. And now Jesus, our great good shepherd, he wants to bless us with those wonderful green pastures and those still blue waters. And therefore, Jesus is inviting each one of us into a far deeper, more intimate, caring, loving relationship with him. This is why he died for you and me. And this is why he's been raised for you and me. Not so that we might merely to continue wandering aimlessly, dangerously through life, like sheep without a shepherd. Oh no. He has done all this so that we might be his own and live with him in the blessing of his new life, his love, his joy, his victory. All this he has done so that we might be his own. And he, our great good shepherd. Therefore, today, hear his invitation. Jesus declares, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and invites me in, opens the door, oh, I will come in. And I will eat with him, and he will eat with me. For I have come that you might have life. Have it abundantly. Amen. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as we join together in singing the hymn of the day.